Welcome to NBA Talk with Isaac Wolf. I'm your host, Isaac Wolf. Some interesting news out of LA. Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James had a phone conversation where they, quote, vowed to make it work, according to Chris Haynes. This comes just hours after a report that Westbrook, after parting ways with his agent, and the Lakers were headed towards parting ways. And that was according to The Athletic. So something is not right here because the Lakers also seem all in on Kyrie and that it's not a matter of if but when he lands there. However, Woj reported that the Lakers could make a deal for players like Buddy Hield, Eric Gordon, or Patrick Beverley. So the Lakers, I mean, there's not a lot of direction in that organization right now. Supposedly, Westbrook, Davis, and James are going to run it back. What does that mean for Kyrie? I'm not sure. Are they going to add a player like Hield, Gordon, or Beverley? I really don't know what that roster is going to look like come October towards the start of the season. The Warriors signed three players, Jermichael Green, Mac McClung, who was with their summer league team, and Travion Williams, the undrafted center from Purdue, who was with the Boston Celtics for the summer league. Williams gets an Exhibit 10 contract with a chance to compete for a roster spot. Green and McClung have signed official NBA deals. So the Warriors are kind of filling out their roster here. They were kind of short on players, and so they signed Green, McClung, and Williams to kind of round out the roster. In terms of the conclusion of the summer league, the Cavs beat the Hawks 94-90. Each team had four scorers in double figures. The Pistons beat the Magic 102-86 despite sitting every name that you could think of from that roster. Charlie Moore had a big game for Detroit, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. Moore played for four different colleges across 6 years. And that was because he had one transfer year where he didn't play and one COVID year where he got to play an extra year. And he most recently finished his college career with the Miami Hurricanes. He's made some nice plays for Detroit. Great opportunity for him with everyone sitting out. He took advantage of it. The Timberwolves beat the Hornets 89-86. Josh Minot blocked a Bryce McGowan's three-point attempt at the buzzer. The Spurs defeated the Grizzlies 90-87 despite Kenneth Lofton's 27 points and 12 rebounds. Malachi Branham led the way for the Spurs with 23. The Bulls took down the Sixers 119-104, nearly breaking the summer league scoring record. Marko Simonovic had 26 points and 8 rebounds. Malcolm Hill, 23 points. Both of those guys spent time with the big club last year. The Sixers had 5 in double figures. The Nets defeated the Celtics 102-95. Cam Thomas, 25 points. Surprise, surprise. David Duke Jr., 24. And JD Davison had another double-double for the Celtics, 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 10 assists. He led all Summer League players in assists per game for the Summer League. And, I mean, he looks kind of like a gem, hidden gem for them, getting Davidson at, I think, 53 it was. So That's a really good second-round pick for them. He'll probably spend some time in Maine with the Celtics, but I think he could find his way into the rotation if Peyton Pritchard, you know, depending on what he looks like this year. The Rockets and the Kings played against each other. There was no Keegan Murray. The Rockets' full roster was playing, but the Kings still won 92-81. Very balanced scoring from Sacramento with Murray, Keita, and Keon Ellis sitting this one out. Jariah Horn from Tulsa had 20 points, but then the rest of the team, there was 15 points, 9, 9, 7, 6, 6, 6, 5, 5. So not really, there was like one dominant player. Not really any dominant players, you could say. Horn had 20, but like it was a good team win for them. For the Rockets, Tari Eason, another double-double. He averaged a double-double in the summer league, was terrific, looked better than Jabari Smith, in my opinion, who had a double-double of his own, 12 points, 12 rebounds. Ty Washington had 15, Deshaun Nix had 14 in the loss. Lakers-Mavericks, the Lakers dominated the first half, but the Mavs crept back into the game. Jaden Hardy and Marcus Bingham made some plays on both ends that brought them back, but the Lakers weren't done. After their 25-point lead evaporated, the Mavs got it down to 5, but LA outscored Dallas 12-6 over the last 5 minutes. Final score, 95-84. Lakers win. Cole Swider led the way with 16 points. Jay Huff had a good game off the bench, 13 points, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. Sharif O'Neal actually got to start in this one. It was a cool moment for him. Unfortunately, Huff outplayed him from the bench, so he only got 9 minutes. 6 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist for his final stats. For the Mavs, Jaden Hardy had 15, Moses Wright had 16, AJ Lawson put up 19. The Heat beat the Clippers 86-83. Kyle Allman Jr. leading all scorers with 26 for the Heat. Excuse me. And the final day of the Summer League, Sunday, the championship was the first game of the day, but we'll save it for last. The Raptors defeated the Bucks 80-69, 6 players in double figures for Toronto, just 2 for Milwaukee. The Suns beat the Pacers 84-69. Lou King led the way with 14 points for Phoenix, and Ish Wainwright added 11. The Pelicans took down the Thunder, who only had 7 players active for this game. Chet Holmgren, Josh Giddey, Trey Mann, Paul Kuchevsky, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, Lindy Waters, Aaron Wiggins, Jalen Williams, Usman Jang, and Eugene Omorui were all out for the Thunder. It was a blowout. The Thunder lost 107-71. John Butler Jr. from Florida State was perfect. Literally, he had 25 points, 9 of 9 from the field, 6 of 6 from 3. He was lights out. For the Thunder, their leading scorer was Gabe Brown. The undrafted rookie out of Michigan State had 23 points, 8 of 15 from the field, 5 threes. Again, the Thunder very shorthanded, lack of chemistry with these guys, and it was the reason they lost by as much as they did. The Wizards beat the Warriors 87-77, despite Johnny Davis and Vernon Carey Jr. sitting out. And in the final game of the Summer League, in terms of time, the Jazz beat the Nuggets. Jared Butler had, I think, 12 or 14 in that game. Adonis Arms from Texas Tech was the Nuggets' best performer. As for the championship game, the Knicks and the Blazers, it was a scrappy start. Both teams were wild with the ball. Good defense forcing missed shots, but it was 14-12 Knicks after the end of the first quarter. Then the Blazers proceeded to catch fire and put up 29 in the second quarter. They were up 11 at halftime. Third quarter was more of the same. Portland went up by as many as 16 with Jericho Sims in foul trouble, because for the championship game, fouls go back to the original 6 per game rule. Normally it's 10 in the Summer League, but for the championship game, they move it down to the normal 6. But New York didn't go away, an 8-0 run to bring the deficit back to single digits. But they could never string enough stops together to make the plays necessary to win. Final score, 85-77. Trailblazers win the Summer League Championship. Trendon Watford named MVP of the championship game after putting up 19 points to 7 rebounds per game. Brandon Williams added 22, and Jabari Walker put up a double-double, 14 points, 11 rebounds. For the Knicks, Quentin Grimes was the leading scorer with 19. Miles McBride had 17. Jericho Sims had 13. So congratulations to the Trailblazers on winning the Summer League Championship. Keegan Murray was named Summer League MVP after averaging 23 points per game. I mean, he was great. Very deserving. I personally think Grimes should have won it, Quentin Grimes from the Knicks, because he won more games and had nearly identical numbers. But, and Murray didn't play the last game. Grimes played every game. I put value in that. My first team all Summer League was exactly the same as what it turned out to be. Cam Thomas, Quentin Grimes, Tari Eason, Sandru Mamukelashvili, and Keegan Murray. No complaints there. Second team was as follows: Benedict Mathurin, Lindell Wigginton, Trendon Watford, Santi Aldama, and Marko Simanovic, which, I mean, I don't have enough time to really argue with, or it's not worth arguing about anyway, because it's the Summer League second team. But, I mean, it's a pretty good list. So, the Summer League is now over. We have no NBA basketball for, I guess, until October now. So we got to find something to talk about. James Harden has given us something to talk about. In a Yahoo Sports exclusive with Chris Haynes, Harden said, quote, "I don't really listen to what people are saying. I wasn't right last season, and I still almost averaged a triple-double. If anybody else had those numbers, we'd be talking about them getting the max. People were used to seeing the average 40, 30 points, and so they viewed it as a down year. I was in Philadelphia for a couple of months, and I had to learn on the fly. That's just what it was. I'm in a good space physically and mentally right now, and I'm just looking forward to next season. I told Daryl to improve the roster." Talk about Daryl Morey, not the Rockets. Used to be the Rockets GM, now the Sixers. President of Basketball Operations, maybe? I don't think he's their GM. I think Elton Brand is their GM. But I told Daryl to improve the roster, sign whoever we needed to sign, and give me whatever is left over. This is how bad I want to win. I want to compete for a championship. That's all that matters to me. at this stage. And Harden just officially signed, just this week, officially signed a two-year, $68.6 million deal with a player option in year two, meaning he's only under contract guaranteed for 1 year for Philly. And what this contract allowed for was for the Sixers to sign PJ Tucker, who they took, I think, maybe a day into free agency, Daniel House, who used to play with Harden in Houston, and it also allowed for the DeAnthony Melton trade to happen with the, it was DeAnthony Melton and Danny Green swap with Memphis. And so those are three, they're not huge names. Tucker's probably the biggest, and he's not like a big name, but they're three nice pieces for them. Melton played really well on both ends for Memphis last year. Obviously, Tucker is just a dog, and House can shoot from the outside, and he's very athletic too when he drives to the basket. So this was really unselfish. This was really unselfish by James Harden. It allowed the Sixers to make a few moves. I think they're done for the offseason, but it does give them cap room flexibility for the trade deadline if they need to make another move around midseason next year. So the Sixers roster is looking really, really good right now, I think. And so the Sixers, if they want to truly be a contender in the East, they need a healthy Harden. I mean, that's just what it is. Last year, Harden wasn't healthy. He said it himself. He averaged, I think it was 22-7-8. Or no, it was 22-7-10. He averaged a double-double. But that's not the James Harden we're used to. We are used to James Harden averaging 30 points a game. He hasn't really done that since he left Houston, but he hasn't been healthy since he left Houston. He hasn't been in shape since he left Houston. So if this offseason he works on his body, I'm not really worried about his game. If he just works on his body, I mean, I think we're going to see a resurgence of James Harden next year. I don't think we're going to see him average 35 like he did, but I think we could see 26, 27, 28 a game, which will be more difficult in Philly alongside Joel Embiid, so maybe it'll be more like 24, 25. But still, I mean, the Sixers just need him healthy if they want to reach their ceiling, which I think is the finals this year. I think that with Joel Embiid, who was my MVP last year, James Harden, and then the surrounding pieces of Tyrese Maxey, who's still very, very young and developing, getting better. Tobias Harris is still there. Obviously, they're adding PJ Tucker. That is a solid starting five. Maxey, Harden, Harris, Tucker, and Embiid. And then you got Thibault coming off the bench. Shake Milton, George Niang, DeAnthony Melton now. Perhaps Daniel House finds his way in the rotation. They have a really, really solid roster. But the East does have the Boston Celtics, who went to the finals last year and then added Malcolm Brogdon. So they're obviously the team to beat. I think the Bucks and the Sixers are right there with each other in terms of number two in the conference, but it really all depends on what they get from James Harden. So this is a big year for Harden. Is he going to prove that last year or the last 2 years was a fluke? Or is he going to go back to, not obviously he's not going to be his old self completely, but is he going to show flashes, more flashes of what he was 2-3 years ago? So that is going to be certainly an interesting situation to keep an eye on. I am expecting a much better season from James Harden. Kyrie Irving did not show up to the Drew League like he was expected to. He was supposed to be there the same night as LeBron, but he was not. Instead, he helped out at Phil Handy's basketball camp. Why is this significant? Or even a topic of discussion? Phil Handy is a Lakers assistant coach. So this only fuels Laker trade rumors more. And even though these two guys go way back to their days in Cleveland together, I mean, it could be a coincidence, but it could not be. Just an interesting reason that he was not there at the Drew League. Donovan Mitchell. The Jazz are now listening to trade offers for him after dealing with Gobert and originally saying, no, we're not moving Mitchell. I almost combined their last names. That was really bad. But anyway, Danny Ainge wants 7 to 8 first-round picks. 7 to 8 first round picks. They got 4-3 unprotected, maybe a fifth, I don't remember. 4 Rudy Gobert. Mitchell isn't double that. Frankly, nobody is. Like, 7 to 8 first round picks, that's almost a decade of draft control. And it sounds like it's a matter of when, not if, Donovan is traded to New York, actually, to the Knicks, in a deal that will likely require at least 5 picks. I mean, if you get 4 for Gobert, you got to get more for Mitchell. Mitchell's better than Gobert, in my opinion. The Knicks have 8 tradable first-round picks. How? I'm not really sure. They have their own, and obviously they have some other teams. But they have 8 tradable first-round picks. They could do it. They have the draft capital to move those picks to get Mitchell. But they are hesitant to give up RJ Barrett, which, come on, guys. Really? RJ Barrett has been good, but Donovan Mitchell's a superstar. RJ Barrett is not. Okay? You can't be hesitant. I don't get why certain teams are hesitant to give up like below average or average to good young players for a superstar. Like the Raptors won't give up Scottie Barnes for Kevin Durant. Scotty Barnes is not going to win you a championship in 5 or 6 years. Yes, he's the rookie of the year. Yes, he's got a bright career ahead of him. But I don't think he's going to stay in Toronto longer than 6 or 7 years. And I don't think the Raptors are going to have enough talent around him to win anything. If you get Kevin Durant, you have Fred VanVleet, Kevin Durant, Pascal Siakam as the big three. OG Anunoby, he's probably sent to Brooklyn in that deal. But anyway, like, why would you not give up Scotty Barnes for Kevin Durant? You took the gamble on Kawhi. You saw what happened there. Why not do it with Durant? And then for the Knicks, giving up Barrett. Barrett for Mitchell, that's a... I don't get it. Mitchell is like around the same age. He might be a year older or two than Barrett. But my goodness, I just don't get it. But anyway, all signs point to Mitchell potentially starting next season in New York. So that would certainly be very interesting. I'm not really sure what kind of players the Knicks would give up in that deal. But they're definitely going to give up at least probably 5 or 6 picks. What if Mitchell... Oh my gosh, this is getting out of hand. If Mitchell asks 5, 6 picks, they're asking 7 to 8. Danny Ainge wants 7 to 8 picks for Donovan Mitchell. What is Kevin Durant going to ask for? 10? Like, this is just... The draft capital that is being traded is getting out of control. It really is. But anyway, as for Kevin Durant... An update on him, the Nets won't consider a deal from the Raptors without Scottie Barnes, like I said. And with the signing of DeAndre Ayton, that the window has closed for Durant going to Phoenix for now. They can't trade Booker. They can't trade Ayton. It doesn't make sense to move Chris Paul. They're not going to include Mikal Bridges. Like, really? You don't want to include Mikal Bridges? You don't want to swap Mikal Bridges for Kevin Durant? Like, that's just dumb. The Pelicans won't let go of Brandon Ingram for KD, which, okay, makes a little bit more sense. They're basically the same player. Durant's just a better version. But still, I would swap Ingram for Durant. Like, that would elevate the Pelicans to a championship contender. That starting lineup of Graham, McCollum, Durant, Zion, and Valanciunas? My goodness. But the Wizards also could make a major push for him, according to the NBA Central. He was spotted in Portland at a pro-am. Not that that means anything, but I always thought the fit would be Portland to team up with Lillard. Not that they have anything to give up, but I like that idea. But all in all, he likely won't be dealt before the season starts. The market is still pretty frozen for him because the Nets are just asking for too much and too specific. They're very specific with what they want. And obviously, they have every right to be. They're trading Kevin Durant, but still. It is difficult for any team to make an even return or give the Nets what they want back for a superstar of Kevin Durant's caliber. We will be back soon with another podcast.